Biro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. Every day, I'm blessed with the opportunity to sit down and speak with our veterans and active military personnel. They always knew that they were VA eligible, but didn't realize just how easy I make the process. At Hero.Loan, we close VA loans in 14 days. I pay for your appraisal, and we do all the VA paperwork for you. Get the loan you've earned and apply online today with your Missouri VA loan specialist at Hero.Loan, the only way to VA. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Nana Mama's Pizza will soon be your go-to choice for pizza in St. Louis. That's because Nana Mama's uses only the freshest ingredients, and it's all local. From the freshest locally grown produce to the perfect dough made fresh in-store every day. Pair that with edge-to-edge toppings, and you really can't beat it. Nana Mama's Pizza is a family-owned restaurant that is family-friendly and opens 7 days a week. Come hang out inside or enjoy the day outside in the outdoor seating area located in Baldwin and Creve Coeur. Check them out online at nanamamas.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
It's a scientific fact that women like round, muscular butts.
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Good afternoon. Welcome, everybody, to the, not to say September 11th anymore. That's tough to say after what happened 17 years ago, but it is the 12th day of September. Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. We're glad to have you with us. We'll do the Burt segment, and then I'll share with you a story of something that happened to me just before I got here. And it's just an observation about how some businesses do business. It's not a big thing, but I think they made a little mistake, and I think you'll agree with me that it's easy to correct it and would make for great PR for the business. So there, you have no idea what I'm talking about. That'll leave you hanging. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Like to introduce Trevor Limestone Limey Phillips. What do you have?
All right, well, this is something that I have never really experienced because it was already...
Sexual intercourse?
That's a good story.
Ha, thank you.
He's not finished.
Right, continuing on. There is a school in Georgia that is going to ask their parents if they can paddle students as punishment. And I want to get your thoughts on this because off-air Tim mentioned that he can remember... A principal in your school that used to have a paddle, and I've never seen this in school. I remember hearing about it when my dad was a kid and stuff like that. But are you pro? Are you against?
Well, here's the thing: you're probably against it, right?
A little so, because I don't really know how angry the teacher could get in that moment. And
trust me, as the recipient of many, many paddlings and whippings, they called them, done with a cane, teachers can get pretty angry.
Exactly, and that's my thing. So, I mean, if it's done as an actual reprimand, I could see that. But then again, if I had a child and somebody was doing that to my child, there would, in my mind, there would be hell to pay. Like, that person would be, in my eyes, dead.
Okay, so you're against paddling.
Yes, unless it's done by the parents.
First of all, you don't have any kids.
No.
Okay. I'll let Tim speak first.
This story
Hey, look who's here. Tim Woodburn.
Hey. Thank you.
Wow, thanks, nice. Frank.
Come on now.
Tim Woodburn.
Yep.
Come on, come on, turn on the internet microphone.
What is that?
That means I have opened the annex door, and there is no response from the annex.
You know what? The mic is probably not working.
Probably not. All I need to call Gino up.
Gino, get over to the annex and turn on the mic so we can hear the audience.
He's on the way. They'll be taken care of. Go ahead, Tim.
This school has students from kindergarten through ninth grade.
Okay.
They sent 100 parents have sent back the forms, and about one-third have given the school consent to peddle their child. This is in Hephzibah, Georgia.
Okay. First of all, it's the South,
mm-hmm.
which is a little different than if you ask parents up north. And a third, are you surprised? Do you think that seems like more than you would have thought would give their okay?
Or, I'm a little surprised
or
by
fewer
that.
Or fewer than you thought.
Well, I don't know, but here's the specs on this. The paddle's 24 inches in length, 6 inches wide, and 3/4 inch thick. Parents will be notified if their child is to be paddled by an administrator, and they actually have a protocol for the proper way to paddle a child, which they sent home to the parents, and this is hilarious. Parents are notified that their child will be paddled. The student will be taken into an office and the door closed. The student will place their hands on their knees or piece of furniture and will be struck on the buttocks with a paddle.
Can we say buttocks?
Mm-hmm.
I think we can.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it will be administered by an administrator in the presence of an adult witness. I went to Beerbaum Elementary School in South St. Louis County, and then I went to Forder. But I was at Beerbaum Kindergarten, First and Second. We had a principal there named Mr. Harrell. And I remember him real well. And I was a little bit of a discipline problem back in
what?
The day. I know. It's hard to believe.
There's a shocker.
And I remember he had a two-step process. If you got sent to the principal's office, first you got shown the paddle. It's kind of like shock treatment for you. Like they give these people shock time in jail. You know, they don't give you the whole prison sentence. You just kind of get the shock time.
Right.
So you got the shock value of just being shown the paddle. And I've shown the paddle.
Can you still remember what it looked like?
Yeah, it was circular. It looked like a ping pong paddle.
Really?
Yeah. It was brown. It was tan.
Okay. Was it thick?
I don't think it was. I never got hit with it because that one time I got it once a year for the 3 years I was there, and I remember it. And he was a really jovial, bald guy with a big belly and just always laughing and cackling, and just was a really, really friendly guy. But it was also the kind of guy that you didn't want to cross. Mm. You know, you meet somebody like that, they're just the friendly, most jovial guy. But
no,
like,
sure.
He's like, oh, gee, I would never want to make that guy mad.
Sure.
Yeah. That's the kind of guy he was.
I think that's me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The reason I ask if you remember the paddle and how thick it was, it needs to be thick, and I'll tell you why. A couple of times my parents tried to paddle me with it. Remember those, and they still have them, those paddles with the rubber band and the ball on the end?
Yeah.
Cheap, and it was always a mm-hmm. staple. Mm-hmm. It was, the rubber band was stapled on, and it broke within 5 minutes. But they tried to paddle me with that. Mm-hmm. What a waste of time. You might as well use a paper paddle. Because the thing is, an eighth of an inch thick, it's lightweight wood, it didn't do the job.
My dad used to use the plastic bottom slippers, like, you know, the hard plastic ones?
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah, yeah.
My mom used the phone. She just hit me across the face.
That was a one-time deal. You've told that story. She didn't always hit you in the face with the phone.
No.
She did it once, and you probably deserved it.
Yeah. My mom used to get mad at me because she's a lefty. And when
my mom's a lefty.
She'd go to smack me, and I'd, you know, when I was eight, I took the left. But then I was about 12, I started blocking that left.
Yeah.
And then she'd get mad because I was hurting her for blocking it. Put your arm down. Put your arm down. You know, if I'd block it, then I would hurt her worse than she'd hurt me with the left hook.
Did you ever do that circular dance where they're trying to, and you're jumping forward and they're holding your arm, you're going in a circle because you're trying to outrun the paddle? Let's take a quick vote today, 2018, September 12th. We know Limey's vote, no paddling in the school.
If I have a child, don't touch it.
Dan?
Yes.
You would vote yes.
Yes, I would vote yes.
I would vote yes.
Surprisingly, I'd vote no. And the reason is this, is that it's something that Limestone said. You can't control the paddling. It's not like setting a speed limit, like 50 miles an hour. There's velocity, there's the size of the pedal, there's the strength of the teacher. There's what was the infraction. Some kids cannot psychologically take the humiliation of being paddled. And I was all for it for a long, long time. But anymore, I'm not. And the other reason is it doesn't work. And I know because and I'm not exaggerating here, I was paddled or whipped with a cane in front of other students at least 20 times when I went to school.
Wow.
For doing what?
20 times?
Usually talking. For one time,
as
for something, one time for something, something I did not do, a girl did it, but I took the fall for it because she was a girl and I
chivalry.
Really liked her.
Chivalry.
No, she, yeah, no, she here's what she did. Our science teacher was named Mr. Johnson.
Right.
And for anybody who ever watched the Munsters, he looked just like Herman Munster.
Oh, man.
He was tall and kind of lumbering, and he had a long face. So Linda was her name. Before Mr. Johnson walked in class, there's that minute or two sometimes where class is about to start, but the teacher's not there yet. Mm-hmm. She runs up to the chalkboard, takes a piece of chalk, and writes in big letters, Mr. Johnson looks like Herman Munster, and ran back to her seat. He walks in and looks at the board and says, who wrote this? She points at me and said, he did.
Oh,
wow.
Boy.
Yeah. And he said, is that true? And I said, I'd rather not say. Well, that means guilty. So he said, step up front of the class. And I had to bend over, grab my ankles, and he had a cane, I mean like a bamboo cane, and it hurt. And it wasn't just one or two, it was several, till you had red stripes on your butt, and they were welts. And then you take your seat, and you try not to cry because you're in front of other students. There's a lot of parts to this paddling thing.
You don't want to be embarrassed or humiliated even more.
There are also kids who want to be perceived as tough guys. They would do things to get paddled. They wanted to be paddled in front of the other students. They thought it made them cool. So I'm not for the paddling thing because I don't think it works. Not that I don't, that I think it's going to ruin some kids psychologically. Look, I was paddled a lot of times, and look at me. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's not a good example. but it didn't scar me. I didn't feel abused in any way. I thought I deserved it.
Why didn't it serve as a deterrent, though? Because it didn't hurt that much?
That's a good question. No, it did hurt. But that's a great question. But the kids that I know who got paddled more than once, every one of them. So it obviously didn't do the job the first time. And maybe it was a statement that, and it's, of course, it's always boys. They didn't paddle girls. Because girls, especially 11, 12, they're going through that becoming a woman weekly, monthly thing.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
And
they didn't paddle
They did
girls.
Not paddle girls. So the fact that most of the guys that got paddled more than once tells me it didn't work.
My dad's uncle died when he was 12. I think this was in like,
from being paddled?
No, from 1930.
Paddled him to death?
Wow. No, actually.
He died when he was 12?
Yeah, and you make jokes now.
No, I'm not joking.
Because the teacher got angry and hit him in the head with an umbrella. Gave him a concussion back in the day. Went home, took a nap, never got up again.
Well, hold on. A teacher murdered your uncle.
Wow.
Did the teacher go to prison?
No, this was, well, I mean, this was like, I almost took the Lord's name in vain then. This was almost 100 years ago, you know? So, I mean, didn't know what the concussion was or if it was related. The kid, his name was Idris, a nice old Welsh name, came home from school, had a headache, laid down.
Now, how do you know, who in your family passed this story?
That was my dad's uncle, so my dad's father told him about that.
Wow, a teacher murders a kid.
Yeah, he hit him on the head with an umbrella, gave him a concussion.
That's some serious discipline.
So, yeah, that's why I'm slightly
now,
a little against it.
I will, Alice Williams was her name, English teacher. She was so mad at me. She broke the paddle on me while she was paddling me. And it was a significant piece of wood. And when it broke, I laughed.
Oh.
And I'll never forget, in front of all the students, he says, you may be laughing now. I'll be right back.
Oh.
She went to the principal's office and got his paddle and came back and finished the job. And again, you cannot cry.
Right.
And I never cried once. I wanted to, but I never cried. I never laughed again either.
I love how they did it in front of the other students. This Georgia policy is to do it isolated.
I thought, well, I guess in some ways that's a better way, but then it also is not as effective as if you're being humiliated. Now, the worst thing you could do, and when I went to school, I saw kids paddle pretty much every day. But the worst thing you could do would be try to pad your pants, like put a book in there or put some pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. If they detected that, worse. They'd take you in the boys' room, make you remove what's in your pants, and they take you back to class and finish it.
See, a deterrent that worked on me when I was a kid wasn't the threat of physical violence by any of my parents.
Shock therapy?
That and they took away things that they knew would hurt me worse than being grounded or being beaten. I was such a sports nut when I was a kid, still am, but they would ground me from the radio. They would ground me from the TV. You can go outside all you want, play outside all you want, but no radio and no TV. And I could which meant I couldn't listen to the Cardinals or the Blues or any of that stuff, and it would kill me. It was a deterrent. That was a deterrent.
But see, that makes sense to me. You find out what the kid likes. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have to do this? Did you ever have to, I will not talk in class, and write it.
Oh, lines?
3,000 times.
Yeah.
God, I hate that. Oh, my God. You know what? That was worse than paddling.
And there's no quick way, because remember, like, you know, okay, I'm going to write the first word just all the way down
yes.
the piece of paper and then go to the next
yeah.
word. And do
I. Will. Not talk. And no matter how you do it, it is horrible. And I remember a couple times where the teacher says, all right, that's it. Here's what I want you to turn into me tomorrow. You go home and I want you to write 300 times, I will not talk back to the teacher. And I said, oh, come on. She said 500. And I wanted to say something, but I thought if I say anything, it's going to be 700. So I had to go home and write that 500 times. And there's no shortcut.
No.
There's no. I remember kids holding two pencils and tape them together thinking you can do two lines. That didn't work. It didn't work.
Two pencils.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other... See, there's punishment, but then there's the teacher's pet stuff.
Well, there's...
And to me, that kid, mm-hmm. when you do that, you made that kid a target. When the teacher picks you out to come up and take the erasers and go outside and clean them, that was a great assignment because you get to go outside, you bang erasers and chalk dust flies, but you're teacher's pet. And then they start calling you, teacher's pet, teacher's pet. So you don't want to be picked or called on to do something for the... We've got to talk to Brenda, because she's been holding for a while. Brenda, welcome to 590 The Fan. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Great. What's up?
Well, I'm 53. I grew up...
Hey, hold on. It's my favorite age. 53.
Wow.
What do you know? How about that? Go ahead.
Okay. I went to high school in a suburb of Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And I got they call them a blast. You got either one, two, or three blasts, depending on what you did. And I got a blast in ninth grade by a male principal, and it was only he and I in the room.
A blast of what?
A paddle.
A paddle, a wooden paddle.
Hmm. That's very rare. I'm telling you, I went to school in the South, not Texas, but Tennessee, and it was just kind of an unwritten rule, you don't touch the girls, mm-hmm. even back then. So you must have really been a mean little girl.
No, actually, I was kind of the principal's pet. I worked in the office 1 hour. I think I was tardy too many times. And he said, I don't want to do this. And they didn't ask my parents' permission.
Heavens no.
I would have rather him do it than call my dad, because my dad would have beat me worse.
Remember specifically, did you get paddled more than once or just once?
Just that one time. And I remember.
And it was for being late?
I think it was for being tardy to class too many times.
Wow. That seems a little excessive to me. Did it work?
Well, I didn't want it ever again, I can tell you that.
So you weren't tardy.
Well, only because of humiliation. It didn't hurt that much.
Did he do it in front of the other students?
No, just he and I in his office, and I bent over his desk.
That's a... Whoa. Hang on a minute.
I know.
If anybody just tuned in, just got in the car, turned on the radio and heard, the principal and I were in his office, now he bent me over the desk.
Bend over.
Well, okay, now we know that some schools did paddle girls. Thank you. Thank you, Brenda.
That was South Grand Prairie High School.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
The other, I'm trying to think of other puns. Well, one was the stand in the hall thing. I didn't mind.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to be in that class anyway. Mm-hmm. Go stand in the hall. Thank you. You know, I mean,
detention after class, that was boring, but you know, you just
that was miserable.
Now, they actually, the other thing is they make you take your desk and set it outside the classroom in the hall. So you're the only person in the whole hallway sitting at a desk in the hall. Yeah. I didn't mind that.
I'll never forget going to Fort Erie Elementary School in South Lewis County. We had a kid in our class. His name was Jimmy. And,
hey, I had that guy.
He was, we're different years in school, Frank.
Sorry.
I think Jimmy was in fourth grade for 26 years.
I forgot.
So he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, boy.
And when we would have birthday parties in the class, his parents told our teacher that to make him sit out, they would not let him participate in a birthday party inside the classroom.
Wow. Because of his religion.
Because of that. And every time it would be somebody's birthday, you know, it would be a big deal. We'd bring a cake in, we'd sing happy birthday, we'd cut it, we'd slide it out, everybody get a piece of cake, you know, and somebody might give him the teacher might give him a present, and this kid would have to go sit in the hallway.
Why? Is there something about the religion?
I don't know.
Yeah, they don't celebrate birthdays.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, it's true.
They don't celebrate Christmas,
why?
Birthdays,
what, why?
Anything like that. I don't know.
Why? What's their justification for saying you can't celebrate your birthday?
I can't remember the reasoning behind it.
Is that something out of the Bible? Do they...
No, that's something out of their Bible, out of Watchtower.
Well, stupid.
So they made him sit outside and read Watchtower, probably.
Stupid.
Yeah.
False religious holidays or holidays of pagan origin cannot be celebrated by Jehovah Witnesses because they believe that their God, Jehovah, requires Christians to belong to the correct religion in order to be saved. So any kind of non-Christian holiday or non-Christian celebration is thumbs down.
Which is Christmas.
Isn't religion an interesting thing?
Oh, yeah.
It just fascinates me. Because
you can't honor a human institution, a person, or an animal because it's a form of creature worship. They believe that God should get all the honor and glory.
Wow.
So a birthday is a worship of a person. Is a celebration of the person and not God.
Wow, are those people weird. Sorry, if you're listening to your Jehovah's Witness, you're weird.
Oh, no,
you're flat weird.
It was one of the first things I said to them when they came to the door. You know how they come knocking on the door to give you a watchtower?
And they're all dressed up, too.
And I said, they had a watchtower. I said, I don't want that magazine. I celebrate birthdays, Christmas, and every holiday there is.
All right, you do know the great Jehovah's Witness joke?
No.
Okay. This Jehovah's Witness family, and it's usually a family, a mom, dad, a couple of kids, they're all dressed real nice.
Right.
They go to a house, and the lady of the house answers the door. And they introduced themselves and said, to one of you'd be interested in some literature. They handed some literature. And then they said, you know, would you mind if we came in and just chatted? And she said, no, come on in. They go in the living room, they sit down. And nobody says anything, and the woman says, now what? And the guy goes, I don't know, we never got this far.
I'm going to, a funny family Jehovah's Witness story that my granddad used to do.
Right.
He would, they only ever came around, I think, three times in total, but he would invite the...
Now, was this in England?
Is in England.
So they have them over there.
Yeah.
Did they have Hare Krishnas over there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anybody remember that? At the airport, remember those things?
Uh-huh.
Shaved head, robes.
They'd hand you orange robes with a little ponytail at the back.
Yes, and they'd hand you a rose or something at the airport. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, and he used to, you know, obviously make him a cup of tea or coffee. He would give it to him, but my granddad had a fake eye.
He would
get his spare glass eyes, and he would put them at the bottom of their cup.
Oh. So when they get down so far, there's an eye looking back at him. Beautiful. That's great. How many eyes did he have?
I think he had about six or seven in total. I know my dad still has, I think, four or five.
Well,
of them,
hold on a second. Your dad still has his fake eyes?
Yeah.
You do have your dad's eyes.
Literally. Are they glass or plastic or what?
No, glass. Glass.
Why did he need five or six of them?
Well, this is an even more disgusting story, but my grandfather, he grew up, I think it was like 1905 or something, and this was Wales. So he grew up actually down working in the coal mines.
Okay.
And he was, I think, 9 years old when he was down in the coal mine. And the rule was then when you were in the tunnels, you would tap somebody on the ankles they would start picking so you could move by.
Stop picking what, their nose?
No, like you know, chiseling.
Their butt.
Okay, with their butt. Yeah. With
See, I grab you by the ankle. Stop picking your butt.
Thank you. So he tapped this guy on the ankle. Obviously, he didn't wait, or the guy didn't notice, and he brought his pickaxe back out, and it went straight in his eye.
Oh! Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow,
he's lucky it didn't kill him.
That's not good.
That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and that's how he lost his eye.
Oh,
he used to work down the mines when he was a kid. Yeah.
But even back then, well, you didn't see the eye. You're too young. You said your dad still has him.
Apparently, he only lived till I was about 5 or 6 years old. And apparently, he took his eye out once and he showed me, and like what the socket looked like. But I don't really remember.
Well, that's cruel to do that to a kid.
Well, no, actually,
that can scar you.
Me and my granddad had a pretty solid connection. His name was Trevor. My name was Trevor. Yeah.
He could have kept you from. Stop you from running with scissors, he said. This is what happened.
Yeah. Twice during my 10-year minor league hockey broadcasting career,
you had your eyes poked up?
Nope. Yeah, but I won't tell you with what. I saw twice in my 10-year career as a minor league hockey broadcaster, I saw a guy lose an eye on the ice, and to where like the trainer had it like in his palm, and they skated off the ice and had to like
hit with the stick.
Once
the puck hit it.
I remember both guys. One guy was named Brian Gallantine. He played college hockey at Western Michigan. It was in the East Coast Hockey League, and he was going behind the net. He shot right-handed, and a defenseman behind him had the stick kind of in his armpit, and the stick came up out of his armpit and gouged his eye out. And he lost the eye. And our trainer was telling us about like what the innards of the eye look like as he's trying to. The other guy was John Stevens, who would later go on to become the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, and he was a player at the time, and he got hit by a shot in the eye. I can't remember if he lost his eye or not, but I remember it came out of its socket in
the hanging.
I think his was partially out. I mean,
see my cheek really well.
it fractured his upper cheekbone, and I think it split it open, and so the eye kind of came out sideways as opposed to just like popping right out.
Hank Williams Jr. His eye came out and was laying on his cheek. He was mountain climbing or something. That's why he wears the sunglasses, the big glasses, and the beard. His face is all scarred up.
Did he put it back in himself?
I don't know.
He did.
I don't know. I read the story.
Let's change the topic.
No, let's not. This is fun. Man. This is fun. See, only on this show can you go from, they're thinking about paddling kids in Georgia, to your eyes on your cheek.
Oh, exactly.
Coming out and laying on your cheek.
To Jehovah's, to...
Yeah.
We cover it all.
Yeah.
I saw a guy in a hockey fight one time. Tony Tuzzolino hit a guy. He fought a guy who had a shield. They started wearing shields not too long ago, but 15 years ago. And the shield sliced his hand open between the second and the third knuckle, and it went all the way down to the bone. And this little wiggly worm of a tendon completely got severed, and it's sticking up in the air and spinning around like a tornado. His hand is here, and this ligament is spinning around up in the air like about 10 inches.
All right, that's it. I'm not playing hockey.
Wow.
I was thinking about starting to play hockey. I'm not going to do it.
I know, man.
I actually enjoy talking about being in school. No, wait a minute. Being in school.
Oh.
Because when you start to talk about it, you start to remember things that you haven't thought of for a long time, like Alice Williams. Why in the world would I remember her name? Because she was a mean little old bitchy woman who taught English, and nobody liked her. You know that teacher that nobody liked? And when you go from one grade to the next, when you start to have one teacher for science and another one, who'd you get for algebra? And if you say, I got Mrs. Hitchcock, boy, are you going to be sorry. And then, of course, now you dread starting school because you know she's going to be. And sometimes it turns out to be your favorite teacher. Maybe the kid said that because it was the kid's problem and the reason the teacher hated her.
Did you ever eat at a restaurant?
Did I ever eat at a restaurant?
At her restaurant.
Mrs. Alice's Hitchcock. Restaurant.
Oh. I didn't even get it.
It's going to be a long
day. Sorry, Tim.
I'm thinking Williams Restaurant.
Hitchcock's Restaurant?
Williams Restaurant. Now, I told you one time before, we had a smoking hot history teacher who I found out years later was doing it with another kid in the class. He was 16.
Was she attractive?
You believed him?
Oh, I absolutely. I didn't hear it from him, but I absolutely believe it because I think back on it. Yes, she was attractive, but I think back on it, and she treated him differently. His name was Chuck, and I was in the South, so she had a Southern accent, a pretty Southern accent.
Not I wonder what he liked to do.
Well, and
Chuck, Bobak.
Banana, Baba, Boba.
But if he would answer a question in class, it was different. Her reaction was different than other kids. She'd say, "Thank you, Chuck. That is the right answer." Like she's praising him. Huh. For having, where when any other kid would go, "I think it was Abe Lincoln." That's right. And she'd move on. But no, not with Chuck. Chuck. And if she had to call him, it was always Chuck. Chuck, would you come up here and help me demonstrate on the chart where the original colony? And I just thought, boy, she sure calls on Chuck. And then I find out later from somebody I went to school with, they were doing it.
You hit they got that caught right doing on it. The button, Chuck.
Yeah. Just like you do with me. I mean, I didn't mean to say that. But yeah, and I didn't doubt it for a second.
My dad loves to lie and embellish, and I call him out on all the time, but he swears his first ever encounter was with a nun.
Oh, come on.
Wow. I can't get him to backtrack off that story.
I don't doubt that. You doubt it? I don't doubt it.
Can you tell us the story?
Oh, I mean, I don't even remember what school he went to because he got kicked out. I'm not sure which school he went to, but you know, he's 69 years old. And so
how old is he?
He's 69.
Would you please stop doing that? Because we can't figure out what's funny about the number 69. It doesn't. Not even. We don't get it.
Who are you talking to?
I don't know. Whoever those two are,
knuckleheads.
Yeah, I can't get him to backtrack off that. He's taking that one all the way to the grave.
Well, I would. I don't doubt it for a minute.
Yeah.
And I don't know why anybody would. That stuff happens. But what's interesting is every story, my wife raised Catholic, every story I've ever heard about a nun in class, they're mean. They smack your hands with rulers.
You Sister know, Betty Jean.
Dan has a favorite nun that was mean.
Sister Betty Jean. She used that stupid pointer, smacked us in the back of the legs.
So what a great thrill to find that, wait a minute, this one nun is not being mean to me. In fact, she's showing me some good stuff.
You know what a nun did to me one time? At St. Martin de Tours Parish in South St. Louis County, my parents has always were late to pick me up from Monday night religious class. I hated going to religious instructions on Monday night, you know. And my parents were always late.
Maybe your parents were late on purpose, hoping you'd be kidnapped.
Well, a couple times they forgot about me, saying I had to go eat with the nuns. And so in 1980, when the Philadelphia Eagles played the Oakland Raiders in the Super Bowl, she asked who in the class they thought was going to win the Super Bowl. And I, of course, spoke up and spoke my reasons why. And she said, "I'll bet you a nickel. I'll bet you a nickel." And I had the Eagles. I won the Eagles. And the Eagles did win.
Okay.
So that was on Super Bowl Sunday. So the next night, I show up, and I'm all fired up to get my nickel from this nun, right? I said, "Sister," I don't remember what her name was. I said, Sister Mary something. Sister Mary Elephant. Remember that?
Class.
Shut up!
Anyway.
Anyway.
You did it.
Anyway. She said, yeah. She goes, "You did win the bet, Tim." She goes, "But in honor of our class, I donated your nickel to the church." She squelched on my hard-won nickel.
Brother.
You believe that?
Donated it to the church.
Dirty, rotten, cheating nun
screwing
me out of a nickel.
Look at these calls.
I know.
All these, I didn't even give the numbers out. You want to take a couple?
Sure.
I'll give the numbers out, but the lines are all full. I'll do it anyway. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Bob.
Bob.
Go to Bob. Yeah. Hey, Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
Hey, Frank. AM and PM.
Thank you, Bob.
Hallelujah. Yeah, back in, I think it was 59 or 60, I went to Crestview Junior High School.
Okay.
And our principal had a paddle that was like 6 inches wide. I would say it was at least a foot and a half long.
Let me give people an idea here what a foot and a half looks like.
Wow, put that away.
go ahead, Bob.
But he had the handle shape on the end that he helped. You know, he had it curved.
Ooh.
But he had holes drilled in it.
I knew you were going to say that, because my principal's paddle had holes in it too, so the airflow would go through, and he could paddle harder.
No resistance.
Yes. Wow. This must be a common thing when you go to principal school. They tell them, all of them, drill holes in your paddle. Boy, is that...
We also had a gym teacher that if you did something wrong in his class, you bent over, you held your knees, and he used his whistle strap on your butt.
Ooh. Whistle strap?
Oh, my.
And it brings welts.
Yeah.
And my dad found out about that. And he was a little guy. I mean, my dad was only 5'4", but he had a big chest from driving buses and stuff with no power steering.
Yeah.
He went up at a 6-foot gym teacher and was going to whoop his butt.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's a little excessive. That's the reason when they say, do you approve of paddling? There are too many variables, too many factors. How big is the paddle? How hard is the paddle? How long is the paddle?
Is it gonna
how many licks are you going to get? Who's going to do it? How big is the teacher? And how little is the kid? There's too many ways it could go sideways on you.
Well, the max paddling at Crestview at the time, I think, was 3 swats.
Yeah, we had 3.
That was if you were in a fight or something. Before they kicked you out.
All right. Bob, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you know what would have been great is if you had the kind of control where when the teacher said, bend over, you hit the teacher with a couple of those while he's paddling you. at least you get to gas him to kind of pay him back.
Do a drive-by on him.
You bet. You bet. All right, let's simulate what that would sound like. Okay, now, here, I'll be the teacher. Frank, step up here. I'm tired of you talking back to me. You're going to get 3 licks with the paddle. Bend over. Oh. Wouldn't that? Of course, that probably would have just made the situation worse. Now he's really mad.
Stop paddling.
Mad because his eyes are watering.
Remember what Kevin Bacon said in the movie Animal House when he got paddled, right?
I don't.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
I will tell you, Mr. Anderson was the ag teacher.
Agriculture.
We had that. I didn't take it. And he was a big guy. And in study hall, the way he would punish you, and I'm going to tell you something, this is, you can't win this one. He would make you hold your arms straight out with palms up with a heavy book in each hand.
Oh.
You can't maintain that. You can't. And you'll stand there, and you're just... straining, and you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And he said, he used to say, if you talk back to him, he'd say, don't give me none of that who shot John. Now, I don't know what that means. Don't give me none of that who shot John.
Who shot?
You dropped him arms. You dropped him arms. You get the cane. You dropped him arms. You get the cane. And sure enough, eventually your arms collapse because they gave out. And then here comes the cane. So I don't know what the point is of even holding the books because you know you're going to get it.
Go ahead and bend over
to make it more humiliating, I guess. All right, let me talk one more quick here. Let's go to Kevin. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Kevin, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm good, Frank. AM in the PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah. What do you got?
You brought back a memory. Back in the old days at St. Paul's up in North County, we had a big kid in our class, Jim, and he's pretty husky. And the nun hit him with the ruler, and the ruler broke.
Mm.
Next thing we know, she had 5 rulers rubber band together.
Oh.
And hit him again and again and again.
Mm. Wow.
Did he cry? You know, did he cry?
No, he laughed. That made it even worse.
That's where you don't do that. That's worse.
Yeah.
I was just concentrating on not crying because it hurt, man. It hurt.
And then in high school, I was the guy that got put out in the hall all the time.
Been there.
In my yearbook, the teacher wrote, "To the shining star, too bad you didn't impress everyone." Kind of shot me on that one.
And you had to go through life with that mental scar.
Yeah.
I know. And then I became a teacher, and now I'm wondering where he is.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you, Kevin. Right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Frank. All right.
Bye, shining star.
Do some business. The business of banking business, First Community Credit Union. Let's see, this is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Well, in 3 days, less than 3 days. Yard sale, Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock. You listen to it, it'll become appointment radio. You'll listen every Saturday because it's fun. It's a show so good, it takes two hosts.
And we'll need help this Saturday.
Why is that?
Because my band has a job Friday night, so we're playing late. So I will.
You'll be groggy.
I'll have very little sleep, so we need a lot of calls.
Please.
Especially in that 7 o'clock hour. Please and
call.
8 o'clock hour. Yes.
Yeah, 7 to 9 o'clock, help especially us. The first hour. Keep Dan awake, for goodness sake. So. Sponsored, I mentioned it because it's sponsored exclusively by First Community Credit Union. Many of you, and they've been on for at least, I think, 12 years. And over the course of that time, many of you, maybe it's 10, but many of you, and thank you, have dumped your banks, wherever you were banking before, and moved all of that business to First Community Credit Union. And as far as I can tell, you're all glad you did. You're very happy with First Community Credit Union. Now, some people need more from a banking facility than others. Some people have a small business, and they have a complicated financial situation. And for other people, it's just simply, I need a credit card, a debit card, and I like to have a savings account, maybe a safe deposit box, and that's kind of it. That's all we need. Well, they have all of that and a whole lot more. And they're very competitive with their rates, and they're really nice people. And you would never know when you're there and you're dealing with them that you're dealing with the largest credit union in the entire St. Louis area, because they don't act big. It's not that sort of cold, you know what I'm talking about? It's like in the old days when people would go to the little small town banker and they knew his name and he knew their names. It's more like that. And then you throw in the fresh popcorn that's always there. And then the hot, hot days, the popsicles, and it just makes for a great place to bank. And, of course, they have drive-thru, and, of course, you can bank online. I do all my banking online, but I still go in there. I go in there every once in a while to cash a check to go feed my pathetic habit of gambling. First Community Credit Union, give it some thought. It's not hard to close your accounts out at the other bank, and they're going to act like they're sorry to see you leave. And tell them goodbye and come join us and become a member of First Community Credit Union. Over 40 locations in the St. Louis area. FirstCommunity.com.
Time for a check of traffic. Here's Tory Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Indeed.com. Baseball traffic adding extra volume to your afternoon commute. Westbound 64 Grand to Big Bend, and between Clayton, Morrison, and 270. Eastbound 70 lines up through the depressed section. Stop and go westbound 44 Jefferson to Shrewsbury. Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire. I'm Tory Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
It's Denise from the Appliance Discounters, and my brother Tony and I want to make it easy for you to shop local. At Appliance Discounters, you'll see a huge selection of appliances on display in kitchen suites. You'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable sales associate. Your appliance selection and service will always be at the very lowest price, and if you have any questions or need service after the sale, you can even speak directly to the owners. So be proud of your purchase and shop local with the Appliance Discounters at any of the 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
What is a relationship red flag? Maybe your lover is spending more time texting than ever before? A new cell phone password, perhaps? Working later than ever? Less interested in the bedroom? These are all red flags, and if you need to know the truth, you may want to consider a private investigator. Hi, I'm Tim Woodburn. My firm has been helping citizens, law firms, and insurance companies throughout the state for the last 10 years. Gateway Investigations, when you need to know the truth. 238-1367, or visit us online, gatewaypi.net, or email me, Tim, at gatewaypi.net.
At Elysium Restoration and Design, they specialize in interior home renovations, including bathroom and kitchen remodeling, basements, additions, garages, and more. They offer start-to-finish solutions for every project while providing full design services with custom work to fit your needs. Elysium's lead carpenters have at least 10 years' experience, so you know the work is done the right way. And being a family-run business, they take the time to communicate every step of the way. Check out Elysium Restoration and Design at erdstl.com. Worked up a game day thirst? Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill has you covered. Join the party at Hot Shots during all pro football games this season and enjoy $8 pitchers of Bud Light that come with two commemorative football cups you can take home. Also, get the Hot Shots early for their tailgate specials every football Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. before the games and enjoy $5 appetizers and $1.50 Bud Family bottles to get your mind right before the game. Come follow your fantasy team and root at Hot Shots all football season. Get more info and find a Hot Shots near you at HotShotsNet.com.
Welcome back to Atlantic Fantasy Rock.
It's Wednesday. Every Wednesday for many, many, many years, I'd say 15, 16 years at least, Dr. Doug Pernikoff has joined us. And he'll do that again today in the next hour. So if you have a pet and you have a question, it's interesting. This is one of those categories where most of the people we're talking to, most of you have pets. Dog, cat, whatever. So next hour, Dr. Doug, as we do every Wednesday, I will give you the numbers now. You have no excuse for not lighting those phones up the minute the news is over. 314-821-0590. That's 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Before I do the last bit of business, like many of you, I'm watching this hurricane stuff. And from all indications, this could be like the biggest storm that's ever hit this country. I mean, it's unbelievable. 40 inches of rain in a couple of days.
Tim, how long, excuse me, how high were those waves you were talking about earlier? It was like 50 feet or something?
83 foot high waves.
Yeah. That's a tsunami. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, that's in the middle of the ocean. They say by the time you hit the coast, it'll only be 13 feet high.
Still, that's like the power to create that huge of a wave.
And I know that not everybody has a lot of say in where they live. If your job takes you to the East Coast, but my goodness, I see these people, some of them, every year. Get out the plywood. Mm-hmm. Every year they go through this. All right, get ready. Here it comes. I am so thankful I don't have to live like that.
There's still people saying that they're going to just ride it out.
Yeah, like, and then, you know what? Those people, it's hard to feel sorry for those people.
I know.
We lost our dog. Well, you shouldn't have stayed. Or, we can't find my grandmother. You shouldn't have stayed. Okay, if you want to live there, that's fine. But when they say get out, get out. I've never felt sorry for those people. But boy, the TV coverage, they'll interview them like, and Jim Schmidermeyer lost his entire family and his home. Okay, well, Jim was told to leave 3 days ago, and he didn't leave. So that's what happened.
Family name.
Schmidermeyer, that's exactly right.
Carried on.
For 45 years, I've been going to Ballas Dental Care. I'm a patient there. I still go there. I think I'm due in about 2 months, maybe, to go back for my semi-annual. Does that mean it twice a year? Semi-annual?
Yes.
Yeah. Checkup. I like Ballas Dental Care. I've always liked it. I liked it for years before they ever came on the show and were part of the show. They've only been part of the show for, I don't know, 15, 16 years. I've been going there for 45. I'm inviting you to go too, because most of you I'm talking to are not wild about going to the dentist. And that right there tells me that wherever you're going, not as good as Ballas Dental Care. They don't know how to calm you down, relax you, make you realize that it does not have to be a painful, horrible experience to be done right. And it doesn't. You will never again dread a dental appointment. Ooh, there's a big statement that's hard to believe. It's true. I don't. The people I know who have become patients there, they don't dread it either. So join us, Ballas Dental Care. This is the dental clinic you didn't think existed, but it does, and it's at the corner of Ballas and Clayton Roads, ballasdentalcare.com. We'll speak with Johnny Londoff right after the news, and then it's Dr. Doug Pernikoff. So if you have a pet, be ready to call. Buckle up. Jim Woodburn's next with the news. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Good afternoon, everyone, from the 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn. Sunny skies, 79 degrees outside in downtown St. Louis. We're just minutes away from hour number two of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion. News, weather, and sports headlines coming your way and two traffic updates in this 4 o'clock hour. Here's what's happening. Hurricane Florence continues to make its way toward the East Coast. It's creating waves in the ocean now as high as 83 feet tall. Forecasters and insurance companies predict it will become the costliest storm ever to hit the continental United States. The National Hurricane Center said earlier